Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
What's the point of getting married if just years later your relationship ends up in divorce court? Or at minimum, each spouse is heavily involved in some sort of extramarital affair. When adultery and or divorce becomes an appealing option, it's obvious that something is missing in your relationship. I would be willing to bet money that when you and your significant other were in the early stages of courting and dating, you went out of your way to leave an indelible impression on him or her. You wore your best outfits, your best cologne or perfume. Your hair was just right. And everything you said was romantic, smooth, and charming. Fast forward 3 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, and now what do we have? Your hair is all jacked up. You smell like you've been doing household chores for about 6 to 8 hours. You wear the same t-shirt and jeans every weekend. You never do anything romantic anymore. What do you think? That your relationship is just going to cruise along on some sort of autopilot feature? Wake up and get a clue. No wonder your companion or spouse is stepping out on you. You've allowed the romance and eroticism in your relationship to grow stale. Kissing and having sex is like doing a household chore, like cleaning the bathtub. What you need to do is inject some spice into your relationship. And I have one young lady here with me tonight who sponsors a number of activities in the Chicagoland region that help steer couples in the right direction before it's too late and you're drifting apart for good. Her formal name is Yolanda, but everyone who knows her in the Chicagoland region knows her simply by the nickname Yanni. And Yanni is going to take some time this evening to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this A. Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode 1! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
I want to rock with you.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, September 18th, and man, oh man, it hasn't stopped raining yet. I want to give props, as always, to my chat room. I see Adrian, alias Diva362636, my younger cousin, Christopher Curry, alias Hypestyle, Wendy K, what's happening, Metal Hayes, my main man from Montreal, 50 and retired, and I see a couple of guests, and I'm sure a few more will be joining me shortly. If you live in the Chicagoland region, and Northwest Indiana in particular, you know by now that this region got hit hard with extended rain and flooding. Oh, man, I mean, I had a number of friends, a couple of relatives got their basements flooded with water. I mean, what's up with that damn Ike, man? What is up? First he beats on Tina Turner, and now he flooded people's basements? What's up with that? Man, shoot, this is just crazy. I mean, a house blew up in Munster, Indiana, and, yeah, it's just been crazy, man. I mean, there's like, it looks like just, what's that country in Europe, Venice, where you just got to go around in boats and stuff? That's how bad it's been in Northwest Indiana and the southeast suburbs of Chicago. Quick note on my upcoming shows. Next week, I will have as my guest a young lady who was actually supposed to be on my show in late July when I had the three authors who were featured in Essence magazine this summer. But because of a miscommunication, I take the blame for it, and prior scheduling commitments, she wasn't able to come on to the show. But next week, she will join me. Her name is Miss Toria Wyrick, and her book is entitled Want a Man? Let's Talk. That's right, single women, don't fool yourselves. You know you want a man. You know you want a man. I know you tell your girlfriend, I don't need no man. I can make it on my own. Don't fool you. You know you want a man. So you can't keep giving money to what is it, Sex Toys R Us year after year. You know you want a man. Them jackrabbit toys get boring after a while. So that's next week. That is Miss Toya Ryrick. Again, her book is entitled Want a Man? Let's Talk. Then 2 weeks from now, I saw this gentleman on the morning show with Mike and Juliet, the show I was on in late August. His name is Guy Blues. He's an author from England, and he has a book with a very interesting title. It's called Marriage, Marriage and How to Avoid It, The Truly Cynical Guide. I see Adrian in the chat room. She said, we got batteries. Hey, I don't care if you got the lithium batteries. You know them sex toys get boring after a while. You need a man. Gotta have a man.
All these single women in Chicago, L.A., New York be like, I don't need no man. Yes, you do. I ain't going to say you need a man. I ain't going to use need, but you know you want one. But, yeah, going back to my guest 2 weeks from now, his name is Guy Blues. He got a book called Marriage and How to Avoid It, The Truly Cynical Guide. And so you just know that conversation is going to be off the chain. I look forward to both of those conversations. So that's next week, Toya Wyrick. 2 weeks from now, Guy Blues. Now, as always, I have to give my weekly kudos and shout-outs to those who deserve it. First off, many thanks go to the founders of Blog Talk Radio, that being CEO Mr. Alan Levy, Chief Operating Officer Mr. Bob Cherish, the Blog Talk Radio executive staff, which includes but is not limited to Mr. Luke Armour, Ms. Hillary Lee Wong, my broham and ace confidant and newlywed Mr. Stephen Curry, my cousin Chicago, J.P. Jones, at the bar in Maplewood. Christopher Curry, as I mentioned, is in the chat room, known as Hype Style. Another shout-out to Lisa Daniil. If you're from Northwest Indiana, you saw me featured in my local paper today. Thanks go out to Andrew Steele, Lisa Daniil. They did an article about yours truly. Yeah, it was called Straight Talk Success, and it talked about me, my book, and other stuff related to my book. So I was flattered to be in my local newspaper today, and again, I give credit to Lisa Daniil for writing that article. My two aunts, Lorraine Nichols and Gary Agnes Stevens, Get Better in Chicago. All of my Blog Talk Radio Network family, Wendy Kay is in the chat room. I saw a few other Sound Off Nows in the chat room. Tobias. Yeah, I love my Blog Talk Radio fam, Kathy Holloway Hill, Tony Reeves Esquire, Dangerous Lee. If you get a chance, listeners, please check out the weekly lineup of all the high-quality talk radio shows available for you to listen to on the Internet Radio Network that was recently written up. Well, not recently, but a little while ago. It was written up in the Washington Post. And as always, if you can't listen live, we do this thing on Blog Talk Radio, what's known as an archive podcast. Archive podcast. That means, like this show right now, once it's completed, you can download this show to your iPod, your MP3 player, as a MP3 file, or what's also known as a pod archive podcast, and that's the beauty of Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to it live, or you can listen to it later on your own schedule. So, yeah, any day of the week, you can go to Blog Talk Radio, click on air today, and it'll show you the lineup of all the shows listed for that day by different time periods. And there's a lot of great hosts who I have a lot of respect and admiration for on this platform. I give props to my loyal listeners from such cities as Los Angeles, Chicago, Baltimore, D.C., Columbus, Ohio, Houston, Vegas, Seattle. Seattle, EVP3 in the house. Urban V, William III, that's one of my ace cones. And just many other cities I know there's listeners. Now, you know, speaking of Wendy Kay in the chat room, she's going to send me this email talking about Chicago is the most stressed out city in the country. I don't believe that. You're going to tell me that New Yorkers aren't more stressed out than Chicago? Get out of here, man. Chicago, there's no way Chicago is number one most stressed out city in the country. But that's what this report's saying. That we just stressed out because of bad air, high gas prices, et cetera, et cetera. Well, see, that's why they need to go visit my guest tonight, because she's all about helping men and women, you know, soothe themselves, release stress. We'll get to her in a couple moments. But, yeah, I disagree with that title that Chicago is the stressed-out city. Uh-oh, they saying I got audio problems? They're testing 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me okay? Testing 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me okay? Adrian, let me know if I sound okay. You said, you know, that's part of this flooding thing. It's been messing up all my connections. It's just a big mess, man. It's all this flooding, water. Oh, man. But, yeah, keep me posted in the chat room on how it sounds, how everything sounds. I'm sure you've heard by now
that there was a Wall Street meltdown that, oh, man, it was crazy, man. Lehman Brothers was in trouble. AIG Insurance was in trouble. They had to get bailed out by the government, $85 million. Who said I'm sounding like I'm yelling? At first y'all say y'all can't hear me, and now you're saying I'm sounding like I'm yelling. Ain't that something? My chat room is a mess. In case you listen to this show, you're not in the chat room. See, my chat room, they always busting my chops. And somebody said they couldn't hear me. Now somebody else said I sound like I'm yelling. But Merrill Lynch got bought up by Bank of America. I mean, what's going on here, man? Did anybody watch Saturday Night Live and see Tina Fey's impression of Sarah Palin? Oh, man. I never laughed that hard. She had Sarah Palin down. I mean, oh, man, that was funny. Wasn't it Amy Poehler was imitating Hillary Clinton and Tina Fey, who's I think is just very, very talented. She's on 30 Rock. She was imitating Sarah Palin, vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin, and she had her dead on. It was just hilarious. Now, Dr. Ruth, anybody remember Dr. Ruth? Dr. Ruth recently said in an interview I was listening to, she said that the key to successful relationships is to do at least one romantic thing every day. Hear that, couples? Dr. Ruth, the sex expert, relationship advisor, she said the key to a successful relationship is to do at least one romantic thing every day. So you know I got to ask my guest for the evening if she agrees with that or disagrees with that. And speaking of my guest for the evening, let me get to the introduction. She was born and raised in Chicago. She has made it a passion of hers to make every effort to help dating couples fall in love with each other again and again and again. She gained popularity in the Chicago social scene by sponsoring her now famous Kiss and Makeup Intimate Evenings for Couples, where she arranges romantic, erotic rendezvous for couples that feature massages, lavish dinners, bubble baths, the whole nine. And she also sponsors Frank Upfront and Straightforward, keyword upfront, straightforward discussions for both couples and singles alike, where men and women can air out their frustrations, complaints, concerns, and opinions on anything and everything related to dating and relationships. On behalf of Upfront and Straightforward, listeners, give it up for my guest for the evening. Her name is Yanni. Sorry, Yanni, we're a little slow tonight. What's up, Yanni? How you doing tonight?
I'm fine, sweetie. How are you?
See, you got your voice like Alan. Why don't you just calm down? You are kind of yelling and stuff. Can you hear me okay, though?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. Welcome to Upfront and Straightforward. And let me just ask you, what year did you first sponsor your first Sex and Shy City intimate evening event or intimate discussions event?
The intimate evening, the first one I did was probably about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually a lesbian couple.
Really?
And yes, and it was absolutely wonderful. They proposed to each other that night. It was really an amazing evening.
Okay, well, of course, that opens the door for a couple of questions. So you're saying you don't just concentrate on heterosexual couples. You do bisexuals, gay and lesbian, everything, huh?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, you say spice.
I'm sorry,
spice.
I just jumped right into that, didn't I?
Oh, hey, you jumped way in, boy. I tell you, uh-huh, okay. Well, hey, man, at least you're not, discriminating and whatnot. What gave you the idea to sponsor these types of events? Did it just pop in your head one day? Did some friends suggest it? How did it come about?
I've always been really creative with stuff like that. I was always suggesting to my couple friends, you know, you should do this and you should do that. And then it turned into me sneaking in my friends' windows while they were out and fixing dinner and laying out lingerie. And it just kind of turned into a business.
Okay. And then you opened the door for something? So y'all was laying around in lingerie.
No, no, no. They have me laying out lingerie for them.
Oh,
like
laying
out
lingerie.
Yes,
okay, I misheard
yes,
that.
Yes.
Okay. So you used to get, like, lingerie parties is what you're saying?
No, it's for the evening, for the romantic evening, for that night. They'll have me run the bubble bath, rose petals, candles, lay out the lingerie,
okay.
Dinner. I mean, everything is, all they have to do is just show up.
Gotcha. Now, this is going to be kind of a goofy question, but I was reading your bio, and it just said you have a passionate interest in anything related to love. Why do you love the idea of love so much?
Because I think it's really misunderstood by a lot of us. We have seen what they call the interpretation of what we think love is supposed to be. And as African Americans, we really don't get to see what our love really is. We've kind of lost it along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the essence of it all, we have the Cosbys as our role models, and that's not really how we're loving on each other, so to speak. So, I mean, it's just been in me. I've been physically abused, mentally abused, psychologically abused, but, you know, even though all of those things have happened by, you know, different people, I still believe in the passion of what love has to offer.
Okay, well, and this is going to be kind of a goofy question too, but I know everybody has their own definition of what they feel love is. For some people, it's just that warm, fuzzy feeling, and other people, it's just this indefinite, unconditional caring you have for another person. What is Yanni's general definition of love?
I heard someone say this once, and I kind of liked it. Love is friendship on fire.
Friendship on fire.
Yeah, friendship on fire.
Now, that's interesting. I like that's similar. I heard a definition that's kind of loosely similar to that. One of my definitions I used that I borrowed from somebody else is somebody wrote down that love is friendship plus lust. And I found that interesting because they're saying if you have friendship but there's no lust, then there's not going to be any sparks. And if you have lust but there's no friendship, then there's not going to be any love. So you got to have friendship plus lust. And that's kind of similar to friendship on fire. But that's catchy, friendship on fire. Now you know I got to rewind for a second. What do you got against, Huxtables? Yeah, what's wrong with Huxtable love?
I saw that in your chat room. I have absolutely nothing against the Cosbys at all. I mean, they definitely set the example of how, you know, it is possible. But I would have liked to have seen some more of us is what I'm saying on television. I mean, you have, like, a lot of other different shows, but all we had was the Cosbys. And that's kind of hard to live up to. Not saying that it's impossible, but what about, you know, the average person that's working a regular job? I mean, how do I get past the next phase of life so that I can enjoy what the Cosbys have, so to speak? There's nothing wrong with the Cosbys.
Okay. Now, you currently single, married, divorced, what?
I am divorced.
Divorced, okay. Now, in your opinion, based on what, first, before I ask you this question, as I always do for my listeners, most of you know the number, but I'm going to remind those in case this is your first time listening to Upfront and Straightforward. The call-in number is 646-478-5710. Again, that's 646-478-5710. If during the conversation you have a question for my guest Yanni or a comment to make to her regarding dating and relationships, her events, please do not hesitate to call in because I love participation from my listeners. So once again, that's 646-478-5710. And I was going to ask you, in your opinion, based on, I'm sure you've observed a number of couples through your activities, and you've kind of been able to, I guess, to maybe categorize what makes the good couples versus the, you know, the ineffective couples. If you had to name what you feel is the single biggest mistake that most ineffective couples make that prevents them from having a more romantic and erotically charged relationship, what do you think that one big mistake is?
Lack of communication.
Lack of communication. Okay, now I'm going to throw this out. I don't know if you listened to my show last week. I had a relationship expert by the name of Susan Page, and she said something that goes against what most people in this genre or field tend to say, because most relationship advisors and experts always emphasize communication, including myself. But Susan Page says she thinks the whole deal on communication is overrated, because she said, for example, if a husband keeps communicating to his wife that he wants, I don't know, kinky sex on the roof of his car, if she ain't feeling that act, then he's just wasting his breath communicating that. So she felt like, in some respects, communication is overrated if what you're communicating is not on point. What do you think about that?
With something like that, I think he wanted kinky sex on the roof of the car and just never expressed that to her up front. And somewhere in the relationship now he wants to be able to express that. But if she was never into the kinky sex on top of the roof of the car in the first place, that's where the lack of communication comes in at. Those things probably was something that he was feeling up front, but he was in fear of or didn't want to say it. And then once the relationship progressed or whatever, now I want to tell you what I like and what I don't like, kind of after the fact.
Okay.
So
okay.
I would say effective communication probably works a little bit more than just communication.
Well, yeah, again, that's I totally agree, because if you've read Mo 1, you know I got to plug my book. Did I say Mo 1? Does that mean chat room is now? First, before I play my Mo 1 chant, Yanni, I got to indoctrinate you to my show. You got to say for me and my listeners in your best rendition. Say Mo 1.
Mode 1.
Mo 1.
Alan Roger Curry.
Up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Oh, I get a kick out of that. My listeners get a kick out of that. But yeah, what I was going to say in my book, Mo 1, that's one of the things I exactly do, what you just said, is that I divide interpersonal communication between men and women into two categories, which, well, really, two sets of two categories. I divide it into strong versus weak, and then I divide it into effective versus ineffective. And what you said is so true, is that a lot of people communicate desires, interests, and intentions after the fact instead of being up front and straightforward. You know, they say it after the fact, and yeah, like you said, that's when it's ineffective. Matter of fact, this is what I found interesting, and I want to get your thoughts on this, and I'm sure you've observed this in your activities. When I lived in Los Angeles, I happened to be part of this special that was on the Discovery Channel about couples and sex. Now, mainly focused on married couples or couples who were living together, but they invited about 3 or 4 single people, including myself, to participate. And what I found most interesting is that a lot of these couples, now, honestly, I don't know if race is a factor, but honestly, all the couples were Caucasian, but they were so scared to communicate things to each other, particularly as it related to sex. For example, there was one guy who had been married for like 9 years, and he was scared to tell his wife that he wanted a blowjob. And that just, like, blew my mind that you could be in a marriage and be scared to tell your spouse something like that. So I guess I want to ask you, in your observation, couples, why do you think a man or a woman would be that afraid to communicate an erotic desire of theirs?
It could actually be a couple of things, whether it's you're afraid that you won't get it or that you may be perceived as a little bit more freaky, and then maybe that person just isn't receptive to doing it. Like maybe somewhere in the conversation prior to them saying, you know, this is something that I'm interested in having done or wanting to do, they said, you know, I'm not into that. So that kind of put the brakes on, you know, well, I don't want to bring that up. But that's something that I really want done. But I'm not going to bring it up because she said she didn't like it. As opposed to just coming straight out and saying, you know, well, baby, maybe you didn't like it with this person, but I'm asking you to try it with me.
Now, do you think a lot of men and women's, like, say, their upbringing, like, I know, for example, a lot of people, particularly, hate to lean towards your gender, but particularly I find a lot of women sometimes are brought up in households that are very conservative and, for lack of a better word, very prudish. Do you think that affects the women's communication, is that they had this kind of strict parental upbringing, or it's just them themselves?
I think it has a lot to do with it. I think it's cultural. I think it has to do with, you know, the type of household you were brought up in, what type of religion you practice. And there's like this taboo over what we're supposed to do and not supposed to do within the confines of a relationship or in the confines of marriage. You know, it's you can't do this and you can't do that. And you're nasty if you do this and you're nasty if you do that. And the reality is it's, you know, there's nothing undefiled in the bedroom in the confines of marriage, but a lot of us, of course, are not married.
Now, one of my buddies in the chat room brought up something that leads me to another question. Metal Hayes from Montreal, Canada. I once made a comment on the message board that he just requoted, is that I said one time that one man's wholesome princess or girlfriend or wife could be another man's kinky freak. And what I've seen, I'm sure you've seen this scenario happen where you might have, say, Linda, who's married to George, and with George, she plays the role of the conservative prude. But then when Linda is with her man on the side named Tyrone, she just lets out her super freaky dicky side. Why does that scenario unfold?
Sometimes that scenario unfolds just because he's not, meaning the dull guy, he's not tweaking her interest or exploring her sexual side and vice versa. I mean, sometimes all it takes is a conversation. You know, what do you like? I'm a big, big advocate of what I call exploratory lovemaking. And that's where, you know, you try some things that you wouldn't ordinarily do, you know, with your mate. And it's just broadening your horizon within your relationship. Therefore, spicing it up.
Okay. Well, once again, listeners, 646-478-5710. That's right, Adrian in the chat room. I see you said, you know, Alan's princess has to make chicken wings. I'm not dating or marrying. No, I don't know if you knew this, Yanni, but chicken wings are like crack cocaine to a brother like me. I love me some chicken wings. If they told me that chicken wing ceases this, you would find me on the ledge of a building with them dudes from Merrill Lynch, and I'd be just getting ready to jump because I just got to have my chicken wings. But listeners, 646-478, we're going to take an intermission for a few minutes, but we're going to be right back with Chicagoland social organizer Yanni, and we're going to ask her some more questions about how couples can add some romantic and erotic spice to their relationship, and ask her some questions about how she feels her events really benefit couples and even singles too. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Dangerous Lee. When you aren't being upfront and straightforward with my man Alan Roger Curry, you should definitely be keeping it dangerous with me and HP every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern by listening to Ask Dangerously Live right here on Blog Talk Radio. Simply direct your computer to AskDangerously.com for your weekly dose of danger. And if you can't get enough of me on Friday nights, join me at MySpace.com/DangerousLee.
Are you ready for the best morning show with a legal twist? Then tune in every morning to www.blogtalkradio.com/InTheKnow from 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. for Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reed. Tune in every morning to ask questions about legal issues, discuss hot topics, and start your day off right. Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reeves on www.blogtalkradio.com/InTheKnow. It's more than a show.
It's an experience.
Celebrating 25 years of the countdown.
25 years of the countdown.
With Walt's Baby Love.
Live in our countdown studios, ladies and gentlemen, a personal friend of mine, Mr. Stevie Wonder.
Now, live with me on the countdown hotline, it's Justin Timberlake. Live with me in our countdown studios, my friend, Tina Marie. Welcome, Tina. On the countdown hotline, live, Eric Benet. As promised, my friend, Kirk Franklin. As promised, it's Natalie Cole. As promised, y'all, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. As promised, John Legend. As promised, live on my countdown hotline, Alan Roger Curry. Welcome, Alan.
The old to the new to the old. The old to the new to the old.
Only for the grown and sexy.
The grown and sexy.
The countdown with Walt Baby Love.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry. Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Chicagoland social events organizer Yanni on Upfront and Straightforward, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome, welcome back to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. My guest tonight goes by the name of Yanni, and she is well known in the Chicagoland region for her intimate evenings and intimate discussions. And we've been having a conversation about what couples can do to add romantic and erotic spice to their relationship. Actually, I see a caller in a queue. I don't know if they're just listening. I have a question coming, so I'm going to take this call real quick. Area code, which is the Chicago area code, 773, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Do you have a question or comment for my guest, Yanni?
I have a comment, actually, Alan.
Okay. Who's this?
This is Kylie.
Kylie, okay, glad to have you on the show, Kylie. What's your question or comment?
My comment is that I am a recipient of some of Yanni's wonderful advice.
Oh, okay.
I started joining some of the intimate discussions, and I am been married almost 14 years now. So things get a little stale, a little boring. So I started going to the intimate discussions with Yanni and started talking to her. And she gave me some really good advice and some things to help me spice up my marriage, and it has worked out very well.
Okay, now you know I'm not going to let you get away with all these generalities. Now, I'm not going to tell you to reveal all your secrets, but at minimum, you got to give us one specific piece of advice that Yanni gave you that you feel really created some good results in your relationship.
Well, I would say we went on dates again.
Okay.
It, like we were in the beginning. So it was, I invited him on a date just through like a note, an invitation. And he met me at a place where he thought was a restaurant, but actually was a hotel room that was completely set up and decorated and totally decked out to her specifications. It worked out very well. And he was very surprised, and we had a wonderful time. And since then, we have really been connecting and communicating very well.
Wow. Okay. Yes. A testimonial to the advice and wisdom of Miss Yanni. Well, I thank you so much for calling me in tonight.
Anytime.
And, okay. Well, Yanni, what do you think about that? You know, you got somebody giving you a testimonial on air. I'm sure you get all these kinds of compliments from all your clients.
You know, what it does for me is it just confirms that I'm doing what I'm trying to do, actually, because it gets frustrating looking at the people out there that are not into the whole relationship thing. It gets kind of frustrating, but then you have that one couple that'll say, you know, hey, you put something back into my relationship, or, you know, it's actually possible to rekindle the romance kind of thing. That part is really good to hear.
Now, do you think this, I don't know, might be, well, they say there's no dumb questions, but do you think that most couples, just as the months and years go by, just naturally become complacent and they just stop doing all the little things that they did at the beginning of the relationship?
Yes. For whatever reason that they do become complacent, or whether it's comfortable or they don't think that they have to work for it anymore. I mean, you know, you're there now, I got you, I don't have to do all of those things. Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some effort and it takes some work, but it's not as hard as it's made out to be. You know, it's not as complicated. You don't have to go all overboard and do a cruise every year. You know, it's simple things, you know.
Now, in your intimate discussions where you kind of create an atmosphere where people, men and women, can speak freely about, I guess, both the good things and negative aspects of relationships, I'm sure you've heard a lot of comments, a lot of criticisms, but name two or three that kind of just blew your mind. Something you weren't necessarily prepared to hear, something you had never heard anybody else say related to dating relationships.
Actually, there hasn't been anything that I had heard of. One woman, and of course this is all anonymous, one woman asked us as the audience, she gave us a scenario about her husband and what he wanted to watch with her, which was gay porn. And she asked us as the audience, do we think that he is possibly gay?
Okay.
And we were kind of shocked that, you know, that people share things like that. But they open up and they share, and they're actually coming there looking for answers. And we're not therapists or anything like that, but we're all in a group setting just kind of there to feel each other out and help each other out. So that was probably one of the most surprising things. Another surprising thing is the overwhelming response in terms of, like, the men telling the women, you know, their truths about relationships and how they feel about them. And yet a lot of the women still not listening.
Mm.
Sometimes. Not always, but sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think there's any challenges, since you predominantly, I'm assuming, deal with African-American couples, do you think that there's any challenge that African-American couples face that, say, a Caucasian couple or Asian couple doesn't necessarily experience? Or do you think all problems are universal to any race and ethnicity?
Some are and some aren't. You know, your Caucasian couples may discuss income and finances a little more than, let's say, us sometimes. And this is not all. I don't want to say, yes, we're all doing this, but, you know, sometimes we just jump into things not necessarily knowing all the facts. I think it's important to know whether or not he or she has good credit or bad credit. Not that that's a key factor as to whether or not you'll enter that relationship, but it's important to talk about, because
okay,
somewhere down the line that's going to cause a problem in the relationship. you know.
I actually agree with that.
You find out, you know, if there's like some medical problems, and I don't mean like, you know, diabetes. It may be something small now, but if it's not something that's, you know, able to be discussed, then somewhere down the line, if that becomes a huge problem, then, you know, he may not be able to work or she may not be able to work. Are you going to be prepared for that? And those are things that, you know, we're not talking about. We're not talking about the upfront stuff.
Okay. You know, well, that brings up interesting points, because a lot of times I think when you talk about communicating about relationships, we tend to talk about a lot of stuff to do with, you know, I guess how we're treating each other, how the man is treating the woman or how the woman is treating the man. But what you just brought up is that a lot of things that don't directly deal with, per se, how we're treating a person are also important stuff, like a person's financial stability, credit, their health situation, et cetera. Yeah, you're right. If the relationship does get serious, those are things that can definitely play a factor as the relationship goes on.
Yes.
So it
takes away from the spontaneity in the relationship, because if he or she has to work two jobs, then there's no time there. You know, you're cutting out a lot of things by not discussing some of the more upfront things. You know, how are we going to do this? Even religion plays a part. I mean, you have so many people that, okay, well, he's more into the church or she's more into the church. And, you know, you want them to come along and be on the same page as you, but those are things that you didn't really talk about up front. So it could potentially become a problem. Not saying that it always does, but it could potentially become a problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, I see in my chat room a couple of you have sound problems. I just put a link in the chat room. You might want to click on that, and that will allow the show to be played on whatever your system player is, like Windows Media Player. So let me know how that works out. Music, Nicole, you here? Okay. Thumbs up. Again, listeners, if you want to have a question or comment for my guest for the evening, it's 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. Now, I know you're a person who often gives advice and shares wisdom with people. As you were young and just getting your feet wet in the dating game, what would you say, Yanni, is some of the best dating advice you ever received from friends, relatives, etc.? And on the flip side, what is one or two pieces of the worst advice you ever received?
Wow. Take your time. That was one of the pieces of advice that I got that I, you know, for a long time did not take heed to. Take your time. It means a lot. I've heard people say a lot of times, a person will tell you everything you need to know if you just listen and be patient. And sometimes we don't do that. You know, we want to rush to be together, rush to be physical, rush to be intimate, and rush to be in love. And then you look up and you're in love and you don't really like that person. You know, it's like, oh, I love you, but I don't like the way you just don't put the toilet seat down. And, you know, if that's a problem for you, then that's going to be a problem later. And that's another thing that we do, too. We ignore the problem signs up front because we think that either they're going to go away or we can deal with it or that person's going to change. And it doesn't always do that.
Ooh, that is such a good point, because I've had a number of relationship advisors on the show, dating coaches, book authors, and that seems to be a common theme, is that vast majority of them said that most of the factors that have led to the breakup of a relationship, or say qualities in a person that later on you just absolutely couldn't tolerate, you usually saw the signs of it early in a relationship, but you chose to ignore it.
Yes.
Because you're saying you think most people in relationships, they kind of think it's going to just go away.
Either that or they can change them. You know, you're the one that's going to walk in and make everything better. You know, a lot of us have that nurturing spirit where we think, you know, hey, we can fix this. We can make it better. I'll give you a prime example. My ex-husband, he was physically abusive. And did I know that going into it? There were warning signs. I chose to ignore them. Everyone else saw them. So, you know, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And or we make excuses for that behavior.
Interesting. Well, I've seen many of my friends, both male and female, do just that. Yeah, they make excuses, and it comes back to haunt them. Okay, so we were talking about best and worst. So you said one of the best pieces of advice you got was be patient, take your time. What about what's one of the worst pieces of advice you've ever gotten from a friend or relative?
Just hang in there. It'll get better.
Okay.
Hang
yeah, I'm sure a lot of people tell their friends that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you think for married couples, now, like my brother just got married. So, of course, I'm sure he's been receiving a lot of advice, matter of fact, from yours truly. But he just got married, like, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now, do you think, I've heard from married couples that things tend to drastically change in the romance area and erotic area when kids come along?
Oh, my goodness.
How can men and women still find some good erotic quality time when one, two, or three or more kids come along? How can they do that?
Simplify your life. I cannot stress that enough. Do whatever it is you need to do to simplify your life, whether it's you have to schedule a date, plan a date, plan a babysitter, sneak in the closet for a 5-minute quickie. Whatever it is, it's going to require sacrifice, time, and energy. And you're going to have to do just that. You have to understand that the body's changing because they just had a baby. Everybody's thrown off as far as scheduling goes. You got work, you got kids, you got family somewhere in there. Some dinner need to be made. It requires some effort. But simplifying your life, whatever that may be, whether it's cooking 4 meals on Sunday for the next 4 days, you know, instituting some microwave meals, you know, not that that's necessarily healthy, but whatever it is you need to do to simplify your schedules, that helps a great deal in terms of the relationship. And I like that, too. Put the kids to bed no later than 8 o'clock.
Oh,
that's wonderful. Yes. If you can get them in bed by 8, that way you can get your groove on by 9, 9:30. Everybody can be nice and sleep by 10, 10:30, and you still got a full night's rest. I mean, it requires some hard work, though.
Mm-hmm. Somebody brought up Brazilian sensuality in the chat room. Are you familiar with that?
No, but I am very familiar with Brazilians, and I'm very familiar with sensuality. So if you put the two together, it seems pretty hot to me.
Okay, well, since you're very familiar with Brazilians, what is this? Anything they do differently in regards to sensuality than, say, the average American?
You know, from what I've seen, they just ooze sensuality. I mean, it's just in their movement, in their walk, in the way that they talk. I mean, it's an air about them, especially the women.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's funny you say that, because I tell people that all the time, and some people... Well, most people agree with me, but a few people try to debate me on this. But I always say that sensuality.
They love their bodies.
Sensuality is found in, as you just mentioned, it can be found in the way you talk,
mm-hmm.
the way you walk, and just so many subtle things.
Yes.
You know, I think
a
lot of.
It's a state of mind. I really think it's a state of mind.
Sensuality is a state of mind.
It's a state of mind. It's how you feel and everything you feel. I was listening to Neil's Miss Independent today. Not that this has anything to do with it, but I felt extremely sensual.
You were listening to who?
Neil's Miss Independent today.
Oh, okay.
And hey, that if whatever works for you that's going to make you feel that way, go for it.
Mm-hmm. So do you think couples doing being real touchy-feely with each other, it contributes to a heightened erotic chemistry?
I'm not a big fan of public displays of affection. I think everything has a time and a place for it. But if you're okay with that, go for it, because there's not enough of it. Touch is huge. I mean, we definitely don't do enough of it, private or public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's funny you mention that, because, like, for example, I've dated women, and I've dealt with women on both ends of the spectrum. Some women, they love to be real touchy-feely and kissy-smoochy in public, and I've dated other women who just can't stand it. And honestly, I tend to lean more towards the brother who loves it. I don't like a lot of it in public, but yeah, I'm a person, you know. If I'm really into a woman, yeah, I like to be kind of kissy-smoochy, you know, at the movie theater or wherever we may be. Now, do you think, in order for a woman to, as you say, ooh, sensuality, or even a man as well, do they have to train their mind to be full of more erotic thoughts?
Not so much as erotic thoughts, but just being okay with who they are, how God made them, or how they've become. I mean, if you have stretch marks, you have to be confident in those stretch marks. You know, if you don't necessarily have the body that you want and you're working out towards it, but you feel good by doing it on the inside and outside, that's sensuality. That's you feeling confident in who you are as an individual.
Now, that's a quotable. You know, as you see in my intro, I usually pull different quotables from different interviews, but I've never heard a woman say that. You got to be confident in your stretch marks.
Yes,
that's
sir.
A quotable, baby. That's right. Well, we're going to take another break, but when we come back, I'm going to ask Yanni to describe in detail how some of her events unfold, both the kiss and makeup intimate evenings, how it kind of specifically unfolds from, say, half hour to half hour, as well as how the general format of the intimate discussions. So, and please call in 646-478-5710. 646-478-5710. We will return in just a second after I run some more intermission. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, this is Dangerous Lee. When you are being upfront and straightforward with my man Alan Roger Curry, you should definitely be keeping it dangerous with me and HP every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern by listening to Ask Dangerously Live right here on Block Talk Radio. Simply direct your computer to askdangerously.com for your weekly dose of danger. And if you can't get enough of me on Friday nights, join me at myspace.com/dangerously.
Are you ready for the best morning show with a legal twist? Then tune in every morning to www.blogtalkradio.com/in-the-know from 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. for Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reed. Tune in every morning to ask questions about legal issues, discuss hot topics, and start your day off right. Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reeves on www.blogtalkradio.com/in-the-know. It's more than a show. It's an experience.
Celebrating 25 years of the countdown.
25 years of the countdown.
With Walt Baby Love.
Live in our countdown studios, ladies and gentlemen, a personal friend of mine, Mr. Stevie Wonder.
Now live with me on the countdown hotline, it's Justin Timberlake. Live with me in our countdown studios, my friend, Tina Marie. Welcome, Tina. On the countdown hotline, live, Eric Benet. As promised, my friend, Kirk Franklin. As promised, it's Natalie Cole. As promised, y'all, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. As promised, John Legend. As promised, live on my countdown hotline,
Alan Roger Curry. Welcome, Alan.
The old to the new to the old. The old to the new to the old.
Only for the grown and sexy.
The grown and sexy.
The Countdown with Walt Baby Love.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Chicagoland social events organizer Yanni on Upfront and Straightforward, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. I'm chatting tonight with my guest. She's from the Chicagoland area. She goes by the name Yanni, and she sponsors some very popular events in Chicago known as the Kiss and Makeup Intimate Evenings for Couples, as well as Intimate Discussions for both couples and singles. Now, most of your events, well, at least the intimate discussions, you had those on average about once a month?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Every third Friday of the month.
Okay. And kind of, is it just a format where people just come and you say, okay, talk about anything, or do you have a more specific type of format?
We have a specific topic that we float around, and most of the audience or the clients actually feed me the topics for that particular month, and we sit around and we talk about that particular topic. Of course, I create a format and an outline so that we're all on the same page. But, yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. And, I mean, it gets down and dirty. We argue, we fuss, but then we all bring it back. And at the end of the discussion, we hope that someone will walk away with some type of wisdom or something that will help them either in their relationship or be able to help them somebody else with their relationship. And if at the least, we give positive words of encouragement in closing so that someone can take that away with them, too.
Well, now, see, I like to hear that because, you know, I've been to a number over the last two years or so, been over to a number of relationship chats in the Chicago area or something close to a relationship chat. And honestly, not all of them ended on a positive, upbeat note. Some of them, people... brothers and sisters left there like, man. And I was like, man, I don't know if this helped or hurt today's dating scene.
We don't allow the male bashing or the woman bashing. You're definitely more than welcome to make your comments, your suggestions. It's like I said, it's an open forum, but, you know, we never tell people, okay, well, you need to leave that person or you need to get out of that relationship. That's something you have to come to on your own. But we put it out there in a way that this is how men are thinking, this is how women are thinking, and this is for real.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know you must have some high conversations because, honestly, that's how I heard of you because I have a good friend. I call his name Anthony Walker. He's been to a few of your functions, and he was like, dude, you have got to check these discussions out.
And honestly, I was kind of hating. I was like, well, what's you know, unique and different? Oh, man. Conversation was off the chain, bro. He said it was so lively, man. Everybody was having a good time, you know, expressing their opinions, getting stuff out their chest. He's like, dude, you got to check it out. And do you have them at different venues, or you have it always at the same venue?
I try to have it at the same venue so that people are familiar with it. It's like a staple. This is where we're going to be. Stop by. And then I also make homemade sangria.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, somebody in the chat room, of course, I got listeners all over the country, and I'm sure some of them are wondering, is there any plans in the future, either the near future or distant future, to take your show on the road and go to New York, Atlanta?
Oh, I would love to do something like that. I'm actually working on workshops right now that teaches couples how to communicate, as well as singles, because I'm a firm believer that before you can become a couple, you are single. And I just want you to be able to pick out that guy or that girl that's really not compatible for you, as opposed to looking up 5 years later and you realize, okay, we're not that compatible. So I want to, you know, pass along my tips that I've learned over the years and just possibly help somebody out. Like I said, I'm not in this to be a therapist or anything like that. I just want to just walk you through a better path.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, this is similar to a question I asked earlier, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Why do you think in some relationships the idea of the mistress or other man seems more appealing to that particular married person than simply being committed to their spouse?
It's easy. I don't have to listen to him or her yelling in my ear, telling me to take out the garbage. Did you wash the dishes? Did you feed the kids? There's no pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, and some people just lack commitment. As sad as it may be, but that's usually most of the time why it's easier to go running off to someone else. Usually for the men, it's easier because, like I said, you can do what you want to do. You don't have to hear her. She's giving you mind-blowing sex or whatever. She's not asking you, did you pay the bills? With women, it's another need that she may be missing, whether it's emotional or physical, that she's out there with someone else doing something else. But most of the time, it's just a need being met that's not being met at home.
Interesting. Now, straightforward question. Do you think for some single men and women out here, do you think marriage, I mean, we hear reports almost on a monthly basis that there's a high record number of single women, record number of single men. Is, in your opinion, and everybody's opinion is different, do you think marriage to some degree is just losing its appeal for people in the 21st century?
I say this with a heavy heart, yes, because it's easy. Everything is easy. I mean, if you think about it, you can get a burger in minutes. You can get a divorce in 2 weeks. You can get a cell phone and not have a contract. Everything is so convenient. You don't have to be committed to anything anymore. So why bother? I mean, a relationship is a lot of commitment. Mm-hmm. Why bother with that when I can just go over here and I can do this? It's acceptable for me to do this now. The media has shown us that it's okay to have, you know, more than one woman, more than one guy, because, you know, it's easy. We can get married, but, yeah, we can get divorced 2 weeks later, and it's okay. No one's honoring the word commitment anymore. You know, we don't have that staying power. And when I say no one, I don't mean like, you know, there's all of us. But as you can see, the with the number of divorces, it's out there.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I
call it, we're not committed to the commitment anymore. And you have to be, especially with all the temptation that's out there. You have to, you know, once you say I do, you know, when you're ready for that, you have to be committed. And I think a lot of us are being thrown, I don't want to say thrown into marriage, but we get married without knowing all the conditions of what marriage really, really means and what the context of it is and how, okay, you have to forsake everyone else because, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. But we've made it so easy for us to say, okay, well, please forgive me. And okay, yeah, I'm supposed to forgive you right now, even though I'm hurting. So it's just become commonplace to say, okay, well, let's not, and say we did.
Okay, well, given all what you just said, you know, the challenges of committing, what do you think, especially based on your observation of the couples who seem to have a lot of, you know, romantic bliss between them, what do you think is the major selling point or the major benefit of marriage as opposed to, say, in being indefinitely single, erratically single?
Honestly, speaking from the heart, when you talk about marriage, you're talking about spending the rest of your life with somebody. The older you get, you know, you look up and it's like, okay, at some point at 40, 45, 50, you can't really hang out at the club and think that you're just going to kick it all night. It gets old after a while, and you look up and you want to share the rest of your life with someone at some point, I would think, or I would hope. That, you know, at some point you go, you know, I don't want to do this alone anymore. Because when you live that single life, and I call it the fast life, when you're kicking it and you're hanging out, you know, okay, yeah, you may have people that you sleep with. You may have people that spend part of the night with you or even all of the night. But who's your in case of emergency person? Who's that person, you know, who's that person that if something happens to you, God forbid, and you have to go to the emergency room, who's going to go with you? You know, you get tired of hanging out with your girls all the time, and you get tired of, you know, Renee, Sheila, and Coretta. Where's that one person that's going to have your back? And I think a lot of us are missing that.
Well,
and
that
you
is
will
well,
when you get older.
That is well said, Yanni. I totally concur. Because, you know, I think about my mom. I lost my mom last December. And, you know, if she hadn't got married and had my brother and I just shudder to think how she wouldn't have been able to manage, because she was someone who had a lot of health problems from the time she was in high school. She missed a whole year of high school because of health problems. She didn't even actually think she was going to get married, because she thought most men she would date would find her too sickly. But she was a beautiful woman. And, but, you know, after I left, you know, the nest, my brother left the nest, you know, it was just her and my dad. And, I mean, you know, he talking about having each other back. They had each other's back and then some. And so, yeah, they were kind of like, you know, my kind of role model for relationships. Because, matter of fact, if my father passed away, my brother and I would catch my mom just staring at his obituary, his, you know, the funeral program. She looked at that at minimum once a week from the time he passed away to the time she passed away. And so that just let me know the type of bond that they had. But, yeah, anyway, that's just so true what you're talking about. You know, it's just like, I don't know what comedian, might have been Martin Lawrence or somebody said, you just don't want to be that old brother in the club, that brother who's in his 50s wearing polyester in the club trying to pick up young women. Yeah, at some point you just got to put that behind you.
Now, don't get me wrong. That's not to say that they probably didn't have their share of problems, but they were committed to the commitment to see it through.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, my mother and father, yeah, they had their bickering, you know, and arguing and whatnot. But like you just said, they, you know, they were committed. And yeah, I think that is the problem, as you alluded to earlier, is that I think, I hate to generalize the younger couples, but I think we live in, as somebody nicknamed it, the microwave generation, where everybody wants everything quick and easy. Mm-hmm. And I think divorce nowadays is almost the first alternative option out instead of the last option out. And, now I want to throw a little interesting twist in, because I'm sure, again, you've heard a lot in your intimate discussions. I had a guest on the show earlier this year. She's from Chicago, matter of fact. She goes by the name of Hot Honey. And matter of fact, to brag on her, she is still, to this day, my most listened to episode of all my 30-plus episodes. She's the founder of an adult
social club, which is basically a swingers club, called the Sex Kids. And she said on my show that the key for some couples, not all couples, but for some couples, that the key to keeping that spice in the relationship is to engage in swinging, couple swapping, polyamorous dating. What are your feelings or thoughts on the whole idea of swinging and couple swapping?
For some couples, that works for them. For many couples, it does not.
Mm-hmm.
And what I say is what works for you, works for you. I can't tell you, okay, well, yeah, you're going to be condemned for that. No, I'm not going to do that because that's not my place. But what I will tell you is if that works for you in your relationship as far as longevity, that works for you, but it doesn't work for every couple. I mean, most couples can't get through regular everyday relationship stuff, let alone seeing their spouse going to like second level, next heaven, wow, woo, mind blowing, let me take you there type sex with somebody else. And also know that you can have that same, you can have that mind-blowing sex at home with your spouse, too. I mean, I don't want people to forget about that. I talk a lot about intimacy in terms of, you know, fulfilling each other's needs sexually, too, in a lot of my workshops where I talk about touching and how it's okay for you to tell them how you like it, where you want it, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying, if some couples just took the time with each other, they wouldn't even have to go as far as to bring another third party into the relationship. They can, they're not working enough to, you know, enhance their own sexual relationship.
Not always, no.
Mm-hmm.
Not always. I have one couple that she has clearly said to me her husband thinks of her as this prissy person. So when she goes outside of the relationship to do her swinging thing, it's only because he perceives her this way, but she really, really likes it that way. So why not communicate that to him? You can still be his sweet thing. You can still be that innocent person that he sees you as, a lady in the street, a freak in the sheets. I mean, you can be all those things to your mate. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big believer in putting on a completely different outfit, meet me at a bar and act like you don't know who I am, and then we go and be somebody else with each other.
Role playing.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm all about role playing. Now, I see my time is running low, so I want you to quickly touch on some of your workshops like Sensuality 101, Intimacy 101, Touching for Pleasure. If you can give me a 30 to 90 second description of some of your workshops and how you think they've benefit couples, please do so.
The workshops basically breaks down the communication to where you all are understanding each other in terms of what you want and need and desire from the actual relationship. Everything from actually communicating to touching to loving to kissing more to erotically making love with each other to introducing toys into the relationship.
Mm-hmm. A pleasure principle party.
What is that about?
Yeah, what's that about?
That is where I introduce sensual products into the relationships, and I've been doing it for women. I've been doing it for couples, and they are absolutely fabulous. They are educational. They're informative. I also teach oral sex workshops for him and for her.
Really?
Yes.
Oral sex workshops?
Yes.
Okay, now that you said that, you know what I want to suggest? I'm if I can pull any strings, I'm going to get you on here. Have you ever been featured on Real Sex?
No.
Have you watched that show, HBO's Real Sex?
Yes.
Now, you know they have people just like you. When you do stuff like that, then you're a prime candidate to be on their show. So I would love to see you in your workshop on an episode. Matter of fact, see, after this show is over, I'm going to look up how I can recommend somebody to be on HBO's Real Sex. Because, yeah, they've had people who do stuff like that, like, you know, do the oral sex workshops. So, wait a minute, you actually, like, you just verbally go into detail, or you pull out toys to demonstrate? I mean, what's that about?
Well, quickly. For the men, I call it how to eat a peach, because every woman likes her peach eaten differently. And we actually, yeah, and we actually break out the peaches. And for the ladies, we make it a little bit more fun for her for afterwards. So we bring some products in for her so that she can enjoy them afterwards. And, you know, we leave it open-ended so they can ask all the questions that they want to ask. And with men sometimes, you know, they have the macho thing going on where they say, you know, well, I know all about this and I don't need any advice. And, you know, the male thing that they do, but I just let them know, you know, well, every woman likes her peach eaten differently. And what worked with one woman may not work on the next woman. So you can't take that repertoire into the next relationship thinking that you're the bomb, because you may not be.
Wow. Now, I'm going to have to use that. I like that. Eating a peach. Now, well, okay, what's the nickname for the sisters? What do you call that doing?
It's just oral pleasures for her.
Wait. Now, wait a minute. The women get a fancy nickname like eating a peach, but the act for the woman to please the man ain't got no nickname?
No, she, because with the women, it's the whole thing about the taboo and getting past from liking it to actually making love to it, so we put it out there for what it is.
Oh, okay. I got you. I'm feeling you. Well, shoot, man. Yeah, I got to hang out at one of Yanni's events now, man. You're getting me motivated. Uh-huh. Now, do you have a regular, what I want to say, like, patronage or client list, or is it kind of different people each time?
We have our faithful fan base that are there for every discussion and every event, and then we have quite a few new people that are coming out and joining us, which is absolutely great. And people are catching on, so I'm loving that part of it. And just speaking the truth about us getting better at relationships. Because at some point, we got to get back to it. I mean, realistically, if I can't leave you with anything else, we're not leaving any more stories. You know how we would all get together on Sunday dinner, and you'd have the grown folks at the grown folks table and the kids at the kids table, and they're mm-hmm. sharing stories? We're not leaving any more room for that by disconnecting ourselves further and further from relationships. We have to get back to that.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you had to divide, I asked you earlier about what's one of the top mistakes couples make? And, of course, you said communication. If I had to divide it up by gender, what is at least one mistake you feel women make both as a single woman and women in a relationship, and similarly, single men and men in a relationship? What's the number one mistake that each of those groups make? In your opinion, anyway.
I may get some flack for this, but this is how I feel, and I'm doing that disclaimer early. I think with women as nurturers, we tend to become their girlfriends before we're their girlfriends, meaning we're doing the girlfriend things, we're doing the wife things, and we're not the girlfriends, we're not the wives. And that goes back to the whole taking your time thing.
Okay.
Another thing is we're not listening. We hear what we want to hear. Blah, 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 love you, and then that's all they heard. But they didn't hear all the other stuff before the love you came, where it probably was something like, well, I could love you if, you know, but they didn't hear any of that. So sometimes we hear what we want to hear, and then we piece together all the other stuff in between, as opposed to living in the reality of I'm not ready for a relationship 10 years later.
Hmm.
As far as the men, I think, because I'm not a man, I think the men make their mistakes where, and somebody actually said this to me, where they take your feelings and they play with them, so to speak, like they play with your emotions. They know you're not ready. You know, they know they're not ready for a relationship, but they string you along as if they are. Long enough to keep you doing the things that they like or that they enjoy the benefits of a relationship.
Okay.
But men tend to tell you up front what they want, what they don't want, what they like, and what they don't like.
Yeah, well, I generally agree with that. You know, what I find interesting, and, well, again, we run out of time, but what I find interesting about men, at least from the men I talk to and hang around with, men don't really, at least in as much detail as women, they don't really talk about relationships that much. They just, most of the men who are involved in relationships, they just get involved with them and, you know, they go with it. You know, for better or for worse, but they don't spend a lot of time, per se, chatting about it as much as my female friends and acquaintances do. Women, in my opinion, spend a lot of time just simply talking about the whole idea of relationships and the whole concept of relationships. And, you know, when I ask a lot of my men friends, for example, how did you end up dating this woman? Or how did you end up marrying this woman? They'll say stuff like, man, she just grew on me. You know, it wasn't necessarily a specific objective of theirs to be in that particular way. They'll just say they hung around this woman for so many times, and they saw certain qualities that appealed to them, and they'll say, make comments such as, you know, yeah, she grew on me. And I just realized I didn't, you know, I just wanted to keep spending time with them. So I started dating them and or I married them. And so, yeah, I find that interesting. Okay, now, before I start wrapping it up, give me your final three suggestions. I know you probably got 100 of them, but just for my listeners tonight who are the people who are listening to my show, this will be their information they can take away. Give me three suggestions for how a new couple can improve the romantic spice in their relationship and or the erotic spice in their relationship.
Do something for the relationship daily. Try something new and have an open mind to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or should
okay.
I say with each other?
Okay, so you agree with Dr. Ruth then about the daily thing. I was saying at the beginning, she said one of her pieces in a recent interview, she said she thinks a couple should do at least one romantic thing every day.
Yes, but that one romantic thing doesn't have to be something huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be, okay, a dozen of roses every day. It could
exactly.
be something simple as a Hershey kiss on the pillow saying have a great day.
I agree with that. Okay, now, here's the time when I allow you to plug your upcoming events. What's coming up on Yanni's schedule?
Our intimate discussion actually is tomorrow night. Starts at 8:30. We start the discussion at 9 p.m. And, yes, Sangria will be in the house. On the 17th of October, we have what's called our Ladies' Night. And that's going to get us ready for Sweetest Day for the men on Saturday. So we're going to get the ladies primped, pampered, and ready, teach them a couple of techniques, give them some sensual products to take home and practice on their mates for Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, we're about to run out of time, but her site is intimateevenings.com. If you live in or near the Chicagoland area, please check out her site, check out her events. And as she mentioned earlier, at some point in the future, she will be taking her show on the road, probably going to some other city, so I'm sure she'll be posted through her website. But again, it's intimateevenings.com. Yanni, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I really enjoyed the discussion with you.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, baby.
People coming over to give you better raw. Yeah. Ain't the position is from the back door.
Ooh,
you
yeah.
know the drill, don't ask no questions.
Ooh, yeah.
You already know.
I'm tryna give you that thing to make you stay.
Yes.
From the kitchen floor down to the fireplace. Simpsons
yes.
burning your body, talking that shit to me. Cancel that phone.
Yes.
The only sound I'm trying to hear is your moan.
Yes.
You running topless, no panties on.
Yes.
And I've been talking about this all day long. You're giving me the fire zone.
People coming over, you think you better roll. Ain't got the fish on it from the back door.
Ooh.
Ain't no drill, no question. You already know
Papa coming home. The favorite position.
Call her up and tell her it's about to be on.
Yes.
Tell her don't show if it ain't heels and thongs.
Yes.
I can already see it. Oh, what a feeling. Just don't
yes.
get jealous if I hit that too hard.
Yes.
Cause you come first, you know you're my heart.
Yes.
Cause it'll always be yours. Girl, I'm about to turn you out.
We're coming home, I can do it anymore.
Turn it around. When you hear me calling, I meet me at the door.
People coming home,
assume the position. Girl, proceed with that drill. Yeah, you already know. You know just how I like to see it.
Girl, I'm coming over.